Dropout Podcasts.
Greetings, travelers. Welcome to Tales from the Closet. This is a show where we discuss coming out in whatever that means to you. There are a lot of closets. Thank you for joining us. If you are currently in a closet, we're here to keep you company and talk about weird things that have happened to us and where we're at now. If you're watching this on Dropout, thank you for subscribing. We really appreciate you. And thank you for talking in the online Discord. Great community there. I'm going to set some of these candles down as I talk. If you have questions, please submit them to the anonymous online survey. We love hearing from you guys. We have some questions that we're going to answer today. Really looking forward to it. Let's hop in and meet our guests. We have three amazing guests here today. Please introduce yourself. Let's start here, Joan.
Oh, hi. My name is Joan Ford. I'm a writer, comedian, performer, and my pronouns are she, her.
Cool.
And, yeah.
My name is Adrienne Young. I'm a rock and roll musician by trade. My pronouns are she, they, and you can find me on Instagram at Adrienne Cyberspace. It's not that exciting.
I'm Sylvan Oswald, and I'm a playwright, and I also make performance text and books, publications, videos, and I have an Instagram thing, and I have a website thing, so the website, you can Google me.
Sick. Great. Well, thank you guys for being here. This is our eighth episode, so relatively new podcast. Mm-hmm. God, we've talked about so much in here. Feel free to get as wild as you want, as crazy, whatever.
Yeah, it's 9 a.m.
It's 9 a.m.
Typically when I go crazy.
We're all like chugging coffee to wake up. Cool. So yeah, usually we start off, what are some tales from your own individual closets? Be whatever that means to you.
The way you say individual closets, I think, is like interesting to me because I feel like, at least as someone who kind of came out like a little later in life, like you're kind of in like multiple closets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm from New York, but I started transition when I was living out here. So there was a very long time where I was like, you know, out to and living living one way in Los Angeles, and then I'd go home to New York, and I'd I have a big family, kind of been coming out to them in stages. Fun fact, I actually finally came out to my parents on Sunday.
No, this Sunday.
This Sunday. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I did it for the antidote. I was like, I need something to talk about on this show.
I did it for the podcast.
Best reason to come out for a podcast. But no, it was like a long time coming. But, you know, I still had those like little detours back into my old life whenever I would go home. And, you know, but parents were very cool. Still like there's work to be done. Like, you know, but like the cool thing is they're like there to do the work and they're on board.
Ugh.
And, you know, so work to be done. But I feel like I'm excited that those like kind of detours back into that individual closet are done.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, God, that's so great. You really cleaned out your closet.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Adrienne, any?
Oh, tales from the closet. I have a lot. but my brother actually, he came out before me. He's a year older than me. He came out probably 7 years before me. And I accidentally outed him, and that totally sucks.
How did that happen?
Well, I found Google searches, but they were not, you know, they weren't freaky. You know, they were stories of gay people coming out.
Oh.
And I was like, and I don't know why, I was kind of a homophobe when I was 13. And I was like, are you gay? He's like, no. And whatever, he came out like a few months later.
Oh.
And we're all good, we're solid. He's the first person I came out to. But I was just remembering this he would hang out in like the girls' bathroom at school, just mm-hmm. like shoot the shit with the girls, you know? And he told me one day, he's like, there's this girl in there talking about how much she had a crush on you. And I was like, ew, what? Who? Who was it? And we ended up being friends, and I had a sleepover at her house once, and I was like, she would always tell me how hot I was, which I wasn't. I was not hot. And I made sure that we slept on opposite ends of the bed. And the next year, she was dating like the really hot butch basketball player.
Oh, my God.
Nothing happened.
That's really interesting, yeah. Though. Like, it's so... I kind of felt the same way, because like you try to put distance between yourself and queer people when you're not ready to be out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I made the hard switch to like super ally. I was like, I'm not queer, but I'm just such an ally. Like, yeah. I just want to only hang out with those people, and I want to kiss them, and I want to be with them forever.
Yeah. Get a house together. That's how big of an ally
That's how big of an ally I am.
I'll sign a mortgage.
Yeah. And Sylvan?
Oh, yeah. And I think I might have forgotten to say my pronouns, which are he, his, him. Oh,
yes.
Sorry about that. God, you know, I was not in the closet. So I sort of had two coming outs. I came out, well, when I was like 14, I was kind of a little bit too scared to come out as gay. So I came out as bi. And then I came out as, I didn't really come out as gay at any point, because I was like, I don't like any of the words that I have access to. Like, yes. I am not a lesbian. I am not gay. I am not, like, those, it just felt like the different generation to me, even though the word queer hadn't quite come back yet. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I just was sort of like, I'm gonna date who I'm gonna date, and you guys are gonna deal with it.
Yes, amen.
I don't know. I mean, my parents had a little bit of a, like, you know, sniffle emotional moment when I was like a 14-year-old. But then I didn't come out as trans until I was 30. Mm. So it's never too late.
Yes. That's what we talk about in here so much, is like, there's no such thing as late. Like, let's get rid of that kind of concept.
And so, like, for me, the closet, it was more that, in terms of trans stuff, it was like, I didn't even know what trans was. Like, I had not heard about it. It didn't exist in my little area outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Or if it did, it was completely invisible to me. I only met, like, one gay person my whole childhood.
Yes.
And it was, like, some colleague of my dad's who came over once, and nobody said anything, but, like, in my little lizard brain, like, later on, I was like, who was that person, and why did they look so funny? Like, I wasn't sure what, but that was like a lesbian person drinking a grape smoothie or Slurpee in my, and I could never forget that detail, because, you know, you're so desperate for anything, any information. Like, it makes you think of that Ring of Keys song, Fun Home, Look It Up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, like, this little girl who's sitting in a diner with her father, and this butch UPS person comes in, and they don't know, the little child doesn't know that this person is queer or butch or anything, but they know that those keys are the sexiest thing their little, like, 7-year-old heart has ever seen.
Yes. You know? And Fun Home is amazing. Yeah.
It is just like a genius lyrics from Lisa Crone.
Yes.
Did you get really into grape Slurpees?
No, I did like a Slurpee. I liked a Coke Slurpee.
I did that too. My uncle was the only gay person in my life, and he accidentally left behind like a bag, like a really like nice bag of Kiehl's face lotions and stuff like that. And I was obsessed with that. Like, I begged my mom to be able to keep it, because he lived like out of state. Yeah. And like, I would use like toner and aftershave. And I was just like, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with Rick, but I want to be just like him.
What will this cream do? Will this cream make me gay?
Yeah, totally. But Kiehl's makes you gay.
I don't have like a ton of closety stories, except for just like an endless supply of tales of crushes on straight girls.
You know what
I mean? Like that, I mean, that's basically, and the closet was only defined by my inability to express that. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise I don't think I was so much hiding myself as I was definitely just like not talking about it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like I was hiding.
I love what you said, though, about not having the words available to you.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I think about it a lot. Like, I grew up in the mid-90s, and I don't think I heard the word transgender until I was like in college or in life. But mm-hmm. I remember I have this like really distinct memory of being in fourth grade, and you know I was kind of like in like somewhat in touch with my feelings of who I was, but I didn't know how to express them. And I remember my fourth grade teacher, like, I don't remember why, but she went on some tirade about, like, I went to Catholic school. So that,
I don't know why. Oh, yeah. It was Catholic school.
It was Catholic school, yeah. But she was telling, it was fourth grade, and she was, like, telling the, I remember the word gay came up in a poem, and, like, it made one of the kids laugh. And she's like, oh, why do you think that's so funny? Do you think, do you think it means gay? Like, gay people who are men who want to be women? And, like, I was like,
yes. Oh,
is that what I am? And that, like, just screwed up my, like, understanding. And because, you know, I was like, okay, I guess that means I'm gay. But then when I learned more about, like, what a gay person actually is, I was like, well, that's not me. And like, it just, like, I did not know how to define myself or
God,
and it's just
yes.
like, it was so weird. It's just like that one moment, mm-hmm. like, but I feel like that one moment like it informed who I was and my understanding of myself for like decades after that.
Yes, wow. The conflating of yes. those two was yeah. like so popular. No one knew anything about gay people. There was so little knowledge, like, especially I had like a really Christian upbringing yeah. too. Just like no one talked about it. Yeah. No one was in this tiny town that was like actually queer and expressing themselves. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I feel like my only exposure to like actual trans people in like the 90s was like watching the Jerry Springer show, and that was just treating them all as like circus, yeah. as like a kind of like circus freak. And it was never like, yeah. you know, they were never like trans women or trans men. They were like, you know, I remember this one clip that I saw so many times of like, you know, a man getting a massage from this very attractive woman, and in the middle of it, she was like, I'm actually a man, and he like freaks out. Yeah. And like, yep. I was like, God, this is like, I can't be that.
Yes. The immediate violence
yes.
that it elicits yeah, in people yeah. in this like extremely like sexist society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gay panic defense is just so abominable. Like, I can't even imagine how that could ever have been. I mean, of course.
It's still in effect yeah. in certain states. Yeah.
Oh my God. It just really makes my brain explode.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I haven't heard the word transgender either, but any transness was never neutral growing up.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of transness was not a neutral or positive thing.
Yes, yeah. totally.
I actually yeah. have a memory of, actually, I think that I did meet a trans person in college, but nobody named him in that way. Like, I was in this class about acting scenes from Chekhov in particular, and there was this new student who was brought in, and the teacher was like, this is Joe, not his real name, but whatever, yeah, like, this is Joe, everybody, and I was like, huh. Like, there was just something about me that, like, about him and about my knowledge of gender or my assumptions about gender where I was like, somewhere in me, I was like, I'm like, knew that I didn't see the secondary sex characteristics that would have, like, made that a bump-free introduction. But in my brain, there were these road bumps where I was like, what's happening? And it was clear that Joe was going to come into this class and play male parts. And I was like, ooh, hate Joe.
Yeah.
yes, yes. You know?
Yeah. There they.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just went to an acting class and ended up leaving halfway through because all of the scripts that they passed out were so like sex segregated, and it was yeah. like women play Pam and men play Jim. It was like,
God.
Oh, great.
Yeah, were you putting on the office?
It was an office-centric acting class to try to get on The Office yeah. one day. And
did it work out?
I hope, fingers yeah, crossed. I'm waiting for a callback for The Office.
Greg Daniels, if you're watching.
But yeah, as a playwright, it's something I have to encounter all the time.
Oh my God. Because
actually, what's funny, and talking about closet and like maybe in some ways how your work might be affected by your gender or sexual identity, some of the early plays that I started writing when I was in college were parts for girls to play boys. But I wasn't able to say like what was going on because, of course, I didn't know the word trans.
Wow.
And I had no idea. And somebody told me about this notion of pants roles, which is when in opera, when girls play boys, you know, sort of like in Twelfth Night where, you know, you hire the young woman to play a boy to be a courier to the woman you love so that it's actually this scene in which a girl dressed as a boy is seducing a woman on behalf of a man.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like amazing.
Or those of you who aren't aware of Twelfth Night, just watch She's the Man. It's a perfect recreation.
Oh no!
Did you know She's the Man claims that they're making a current 12th Night?
Yeah.
Oh, and when was that made?
It's like fucking 2001.
Yeah. Watch that on a double bill with like with 10 Things I Hate About You, like all the 90s Shakespeare high school comedy.
That's excellent.
Yes.
But yeah, and so it was just like, and then it wasn't until like a mentor later on was like, "What are you doing with that?" Because you know the convention is that would be revealed. Like if you're doing that, the whole point of pants rolls is that you find out that the girl's not really a boy. She's a girl all along.
Oh,
and now she can marry a man. Yay. Yeah. You know, and I was just like, I'm not doing that. That's definitely not what's happening.
How do I get the pants rolls without the pants rolls? You know?
So it took a while until I was like, oh, like now, but like here's my subconscious doing this for many, many years.
Yes.
Before I even knew what I was doing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I was like writing what I wanted to see for so long. Just like trans characters and sneaky characters. Everything about being trans is so sneaky before you're able to like calm down and be like, no, this is just actually me. Like, I don't need to sneak.
And
I feel like there's still so much of like that narrative, like if like imposed upon that, like trans identities, there are like still accusations of it being like you being sneaky, or it's men trying to invade female spaces.
Totally. Some sort of trap.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Like, I do so relate to that kind of, you know, finding yourself through a performance. My first steps towards just like presenting, you know, as myself were in comedy. I was like, just like, I'm going to write a bunch of female characters for myself for some reason. So like, I was just pretty much any excuse. I eventually got to the point that any comedy show I was doing, any performance I was doing was an excuse to like, play a woman. And, you know, eventually I think people just like, one of the big reasons I came out just because like people like kind of were like, you're playing women a lot. And I'm like, probably at some point it just got too obvious to hide anymore. But
you're like, I'm just staying in this wardrobe, so I'm ready for the next sketch.
Yeah, you know,
next week.
Yeah. I remember like being in like at like shows after and just like staying in costume after my sketch, my performance, and like dudes coming backstage and being like, you know, you can like take that off, right? And I'm like, yeah, fucking no. I'm aware that this comes off.
Was it perceived as funny that you were a man in?
I mean, I always like the very least, I think I always strove to, you know, be like the funny. I never wanted to make like the funny thing about the performance, like that I was, you know, male body in like female clothing. I never wanted the joke to be like, at least at the time, like, oh, that's a man playing a woman. I always strove to like write like full characters whose game it was funny. But like, it's tough. I mean, it's tough being in like the sketch comedy world because that is still such a shorthand for like, this is what's funny.
And you still watch SNL and that's like a full sketch and you're like, cool, Kenan's in drag again. It's like, let's get past this.
Yeah. You know? And so, you know, I still love sketch and I still love performing characters. And, you know, it's still, you know, I'm on HRT and I'm transitioning, but like, I still, you know, people who see me, people see me take the stage, if they don't know me, I think sometimes their first instinct will be like, I'll just get laughter going out on stage and I'll always know that's like the laughter of like, oh, here's a man playing a woman. I don't know. Yeah. My hope is always to like get over that wall and be like, no, this is like this is funny for a million other reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I feel like, sometimes you're like, maybe people just need more time. It is really interesting with this podcast, talking to people queer coming out of the closet and then talking to people who are trans and coming out of the closet. And the leaps and bounds ahead queerness is, like, in the public consciousness of, like, understanding. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I came out of the closet and I've been okay for a really long time. In who I want to date, but in who I want to be, I'm like, this is a very recent thing and like so confusing.
I'll say one thing, which is like, you know, I teach at institutions, universities, I teach at UCLA right now. And when I, but my other function as a playwright is that I'm, my other workplace is the American theater, which is this huge national diffuse cloud of humans who are in all these major metropolitan areas and all little places as well. And so to come out in public, like the first year that I was coming out in my career, like I already had a career by the time I was coming out as trans. And so it was this year where I had two productions that was like a pretty, like one of the biggest years for me. Cool. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I had both of those productions under my new name when that was happening. And so it was like all this, because I knew all this press was going to go out. And I was like, this is a great opportunity for like everyone to get the memo. And then, but then I'm like, oh my God, everyone's getting the memo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like I'm literally having like a press release put out.
Yes. Like, an incognito like Trojan horse press release for like, and also.
Yes. Like, I know it's so weird. And like, you know, you read on these trans message boards about like, how do you come out at work? And like you tell your boss and then your boss sends an email and then it's like done. And that was just like, oh no, no, not in this day and age, right? Like we have so many and I think it's true because of social media as well. There's so many people whose workplace is this diffuse national thing,
totally,
or international.
Yeah, I remember like 2 or 3 years ago when I was first really started to transition. I did an interview. I had written a book and I did like an interview for like NPR and then immediately I was like, oh shit, like people are going to like. See and hear this and immediately I was like, well, I know who's Googling me because I the day or two after I got like a string of emails from the first sibling I ever came out to was a sister who just like stumbled upon that interview NPR.com and she was like just let you know like I'm cool and like proud of you.
Aww.
But it was still like just funny to be like, oh, like God damn, like I just informed so many people about this.
Yeah, totally. I remember when I came out to like a bunch of people kind of like rapid fire, not even drunk, but just like tired. I don't know. It's like different at Christian University. Like you stay up so late, you're loopy and it feels like you're drunk. So I can't even like blame it on alcohol. But I just told everyone at once, just like, I think I might be gay. And then the next morning waking up was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's go find out what everyone feels about this. Like, is it gonna feel weird?
That's what happened. This Sunday, like it literally came, like I went home with the intention, this was my like going home to come out to my parents' trip. Mm. It was like there for the entire weekend, didn't do it, and then I just got like I got pretty drunk at my at my sister's St. Patrick's Day party, and then just, when we got home, I was just like, finally, fuck it, Mom, Dad, I've got something to tell you. Yeah. But yeah, alcohol helped. You wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, I did something.
Yeah.
Let's see how everyone feels about this now.
Yeah. How did you guys all come out to people close to you?
Mm. I started, I told friends, mostly women first, for some reason, even though everyone, no one really cared. But I called my mom when I had an actual girlfriend.
Mm.
And I think alcohol helped her that night.
Yeah.
She thought, okay, so I called her up and she didn't answer. So I left it in a voicemail. I go, hey, you've been pestering me about, you know. Haven't met any boys at college and I've been kind of avoiding you because I met someone. She happens to be a girl. And then my mom calls back.
Yeah.
My mom calls back. She goes, I thought you were about to tell me you were pregnant. Like the slow roll, like, hey, I have something to tell you, Mom. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. And was she upset or?
She was like, okay, glad your brother broke the ice first. I'm going to open some wine. I love you. Just want you to be happy. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I told my mom over the phone too.
Yeah. You got to do it somehow.
Yeah.
Was it two for two? Two for two for her?
We both have that in common.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I had that. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I want a queer sibling.
I know.
It was very
so. It's so gorgeous.
I have my sister Bridget is lesbian, and like, yes, it was she did a lot of work to like pave the way for yeah. this. Yeah. Her and Will and Grace. My mom honestly, yes, my mom's like acceptance of like queer people like just has so much to do with like she got obsessed with Will and Grace and like
Yeah,
100%. Like that, like, you know, that show, like, whatever your feelings about it are, like, that show, like, very positively affected my mom.
That's so funny. My mom used to, we weren't allowed to watch it because it glorified the gay lifestyle, yeah. Which now looking back, my mom was telling that to two gay people. Yeah. Like, hey, great job.
And then you're like, they're going out tonight. Let's watch Will and Grace.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fully. I was like secretly recording it on VHSs and like acting like nothing was happening to watch when she was at Jazzercise.
Excellent.
Yeah, how did you come out to people close to you?
The coming out as like bi, queer, whatever, as a kid was one, you know, and then it was sort of like one thing to tell them and then another thing to be like, hey, you know that friend who's been sleeping over, visiting from out of town and has, you know, that we just broke up, but we were together. And they were like, my dad was really pissed about that because that to him felt like dishonesty. Like, you're taking advantage of our, you know, whatever, hospitality in house to have sleepovers, and you know that if that person, if we perceived that you to be in a sexual relationship with that person, we wouldn't have let you have that those sleepovers. And I was like, you're right. that was a little sneaky, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And a little sneak, right?
Yeah. My trans coming out was a little more emotional and intense because I was engaged to be married to a woman. And I had been feeling weird and concerned. You know, there were some things that were happening that for me were red flags about the impending date. And I was like, I had to really do some searching and get a therapist, and who was amazing. I highly recommend therapy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Therapy. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the same therapist.
We do.
Yeah. Cute. But yeah, I had to work on it. To figure it out. And so I ended up telling my parents on the phone in the context of, we're going to push pause on this wedding.
Wow.
So it was like heavy. So like, that's why I was like, ooh, it was a bit heavy. And I mean, at the end of the day, everybody was supportive. But, and I think it also, we did that because we were scared. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you were saying earlier, it's just like there's being in the place of not knowing, not understanding, not having enough information, your head can get filled with misinformation.
Yes.
Or just fantasies or fears, anxieties, all kinds of things that don't need to be, which are not necessarily everyone's experience. They're like the worst case scenario, or they're the way it was a long time ago, but no longer.
It's kind of like when there's so little information, the most like salacious information floats to the top, and that's what everyone knows about. And they're like, you know, if you're trans, you might be a prostitute. I don't know, like the things that my mom is like afraid of is, I'm like, we're talking about like night and day different things going on, and let's talk about them in their own, you know, areas.
Or when people are like, oh, if you take testosterone, you're gonna get all violent and it's just like, no, you guys, like if you had an anger management problem before, it's just not going away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, or you're more free to express it, and then then go to therapy. But like, I felt so the same,
really,
except for the little parts of my brain that were like, you know, I had second puberty and I was like, I'm attracted to everything.
Yeah.
You know?
That was so good. Wait, I'm so curious about that because I have friends who start T and then talk about almost just like sexist behavior as like, and then the T made me, you know, and I'm like, this sounds like a cop out.
Is this an excuse I can use now?
Yeah,
I'm on
exactly.
I don't know what you get away with being on estrogen.
But, yeah, no, yeah.
But I will let me know. I'll like,
start, you just have to work twice as hard.
Yeah, okay.
welcome to your new workload. Yeah. But yeah, just like, I just feel like I have a couple friends on T who all of a sudden, like, she's so fucking hot is like a normal like thing that they say, and I'm just like, where did this come from? Where did this like wild rabid you come from?
Yeah, the inappropriate objectifying,
but I have plenty of friends on T who seem exactly the same, like more themselves than ever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's cut it out.
Yeah,
let's not be jerks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, let's talk about, I feel like this episode is perfect for it, public restrooms. Love them, hate them. Mostly hate them for me, but...
Yeah, I think I go on record saying like they are scary. Like yeah. I like public restroom, like the public restroom like riddle is always like it always it's always like it's always new. It's always like refreshing itself. It's like where am I? Where do, how, do I feel safe going in by myself? It's like no, yeah. It's I don't know. It's hard.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was promised thunderclouds before.
Yeah, yeah, we cut them. We cut them.
Okay, fine. That's cool. I'm cis, and I still have issues in public restrooms sometimes.
With people wondering why you're in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of androgynous. Like I was kind of androgynous, whatever that means. I was like skateboarding, and I went into a public restroom at the public library, and there was another androgynous person in there, and this woman was looking around, just like she got really freaked out, like ran out, ran back in. Like, where am I? And I was like, we're in the right restroom. You're super rude. But
yeah,
as a cis person, like, you know, it's pretty easy for me.
Yeah. I feel like as someone in the middle, it's easy for me too. Cause I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm here.
Yeah.
But there are times where I think like, like I'll go into like a men's restroom and like trying it out as like you're just supposed to kind of like live how you want for like a while to kind of test the waters, and it's fucking terrifying and also filthy, but like it's just like okay, I don't the preciousness around restrooms is so like unbelievable to me.
Makes sense.
Oh hello. So many freaked out ladies. I was starting to fantasize that you and the other androgynous person should have started like a, like kind of like thriller dance number to try to scare her. That would have been
so like Mary Kate and Ashley. Like,
yes, that would have been great. Oops, I did it again. Yeah. So yes, before I transitioned, I would definitely I wear a lot of button down shirts. Not today, but or at that time I did, and I would constantly get women being like, "What? Like double take kind of thing." At that time, before I'd had top surgery, I would just like turn around and be because I was like pretty big, and I was like, you know, read it and weep, you know. But then it got better, you know, and I think I started, you know, the men's rooms was definitely scary. And I would do all this research of like, okay, what do people online say? It's like going to the men's room and like, what do you do? And then there were all these people that were like, nobody looks at each other. So don't look at each other. Like, don't, you know. And then, of course, everyone's looking at each other being like, hey, what's up? Like, hey, chief. Like that, like all that shit that guys say to each other. Like I get called brother, chief. Other stuff. Captain. Oh, the like weird like seafaring terminology. Yeah. What is this about?
You're at a marine. Are you at like marinas a lot?
Yes. I'm always at the wharf.
Sea captains. I one thing I love, you know, just like on a positive note, something I'd stress is that like public restrooms are a place where I feel like cis allies for me like really like are appreciated and come in handy. Just having someone to go to the bathroom with is, and like I don't know if it feels like, oh, they're vouching for me or whatever, but like it is appreciated. And I actually have a like my best friend, I can say someone's full name if I'm going to tell like a nice story.
Yeah, you can do it.
You know, Kate Raft. My best friend, like she, when I was like, you know, when I was kind of like first, like, you know, stepping my toes into the waters of like, you know, using the women's restroom, like we would go to like Disneyland, which is like, Disneyland's like a terrifying place to use public restrooms.
If you're going
to
go anywhere that's like, think of the children, it's like going to be Disneyland.
And there, and you know, it's not like a lot of LA, you feel like these are safe, like open-minded people, like Disneyland, it's just like people from all over the world, all over the country, all over the world. You don't know, you know, you just don't feel safe. And she kind of started this system for me where like I would like run and use the bathroom, and she would like, and this is when I was first like very uncomfortable with it, but she would like, she would get two paper towels, one with like soap and water on it, and then it was just water on it. So like I didn't have to like stop at the bathroom to like wash my hands, and I could just like really quickly do it and get out of there.
That's so sweet.
It was a very amazing Yeah.
Oh my God, Kate, I want to meet you.
Yes.
I know.
Everybody, she's amazing. Everyone wants to meet her. But yeah, it's like, just have, like, that's a place where I feel like having an ally, like being an ally like that is just like so wonderful and appreciated. And it's even, I think the only like gender neutral restrooms at Disneyland just got like shut down because they were in the middle. I'm probably wrong about this, but the one that I would say the gender neutral bathroom that I always used at California Adventure, which is in a Bugs Land, got shut, is gone now because they're building Marvel Land. And all I know, all I hope is that, like, you know, Avengers Tower, like, when that opens, like, Disney, Avengers Tower better have some fucking gender-neutral bathroom.
Yes,
they better, because, like, you know.
Well, there's I wanted to talk about this. There's an app. There are a number of apps out there. I don't have their names on me, but if you Google it, you can find gender-neutral bathrooms on a map, which is so helpful. And then also, I guess Yelp just added a feature you can find gender-neutral or single-stall bathrooms. And it's like, I don't know. Yeah, single stall is absolutely preferred.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not gender segregated. Gender neutral, like, big bathrooms, I'm kind of like, okay, like, maybe that is the future. But I've just, I don't know.
As Ally McBeal prophesied.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. As Ally McBeal once foretold.
Have you guys ever been to those airport ones that are like family changing rooms?
Yes.
But the ones they have the disability friendly push button door, so like you push the button and then like in like this is very Tales from the Crypt, like, then it's like it opens really slowly and then you're like, okay, here I am, the person going into the gender neutral bathroom. Yeah. And then you stand in there and you're like, all right, I'm trying to close the door. And you can't close the door because it's operated by this hydraulic.
Yes.
So then you have to push the button again and then you're standing there like, what's going on? And it's like and you're just like, everyone's, you're like, yes, I'm waiting for the door to close on the gender neutral bathroom.
You're like trying to hide, yeah, like behind it.
There are chains in
schools.
I'm
like, helpful but not helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
On my theme park, hey, has anyone ever used the bathrooms at Hogwarts in Universal?
No. Because
when you go into the women's room, I don't know if it's the same in the men's room, but if you go into the women's room, they have audio of like Moaning Myrtle, like just like yelling at you, and you're like, oh, this is not what I need. As like, I'm already uncomfortable. I don't need like
a woman's voice yelling
behind
you.
What are you doing? What are you doing here?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's a fun experience for all you Harry Potter kids, but it's like
all you cis Harry Potter kids.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My college had one.
Really?
Had a ghost.
Yeah.
In a gender neutral bathroom.
My college had a moaning
ghost. Yeah. Moaning ghost.
You went in Portland, right?
I went in Portland, which was, you know, progressive. And there was a gender neutral bathroom, but it was really far away. You
really?
Know? Yeah. Like fourth floor on some random building.
It's like an outhouse.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, we got you covered.
It's a porta potty. Yeah. Honestly, though, I would probably take a porta potty most of the time if it was like kind of clean.
Yeah. Mm.
If you could avoid
that's dark.
Possible harassment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You wouldn't.
In a bush. Okay, great. Let's move on to our gorgeous questions.
Yay.
Our first question today comes from Clara, age 17. Clara writes, I live in a really conservative town in the South. I also attend a pretty religious high school. I've always counted down the days until I could just get out of here, but I wonder sometimes if, quote, running away is not necessarily a great thing for the community. For example, if I came out now, or even if I came back to this town after college, I could help affect change and make my community better for young people like me. But at the same time, it would be much safer and less stressful for me to live in a city where queerness is accepted. To what extent do you think it's my responsibility to work with my own hometown to try to make things more accepting? Or is it okay for me to just beeline out of here without ever looking back?
Bounce. You don't need to save the world first. You need to be safe and come out and figure out who you are. You're 17 years old.
Yeah.
And then if you feel like you want to go back to your town and enact change, like, do it, you know?
Yeah.
Do your thing first, I think.
Yeah, right. Put on your oxygen mask first.
Yeah.
Do not sacrifice yourself for future people at this juncture. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, later, sure. But I absolutely agree with that, that it's so important to just preserve your mental health and put yourself in positive situations where you can, that are affirming who you are and giving you an opportunities for community and friendship and positive relationships. That's the most important thing.
Mm. And I would also tell them to, like, keep in mind that wherever they are, you know, wherever they go and whatever they do, like, living their as their authentic selves, it's gonna create, like, ripples, and they may be, like, yes, small absolutely. Ripples, but they are ripples that will eventually, like, you know, get back to these smaller, you know, wherever they're from, places of the world. So, you know, just, like, it don't be somewhere that's going to, like, you know, put, like, shackles, like, restrain your yes. authentic self. Go do be wherever you can be that, and, you know, you will affect change.
Totally. I feel like, as in the closet, you don't even really know what you're about to go through as you come out and find yourself mm-hmm. and really mm-hmm. bloom. I yeah. feel like right mm-hmm. now you're a bud, you know, yeah. and, like, you're not gonna enact any change. Like, get out there yeah. and
find some, like, fertile soil for
yes,
you to, like,
exactly.
yeah, plant yourself in and
fully,
and, yeah.
But if that's
Oh, I was just going to say, I love what you're saying about, like, you never know who you're going to impact. Yeah. That, like, just like I told that anecdote before about the UPS person and the Ring of Keys song from Fun Home, that musical Fun
yeah.
Home. And that then that is just such a great example of, like, just walking through the world as yourself. You're going to inspire little kids and whoever it is that needs to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And that people from your hometown will hear about you probably.
Yeah.
And they will cherish that little shred of information, and it will be a lifeline to them yeah. without you even coming back.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yet. And which
yeah,
you can do later on.
It's not a cop-out to move yeah. to a big city and get to fully experience yeah. who you want to be. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's lovely if that desire is in your heart to give back to the community, like, you're not going to be able to fight that. Like, yeah. you'll be doing yeah. something for your community no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, next up. I feel like being in the closet also led me to being closed off about a lot of other things. Can you talk about ways in which being closeted affected your lives that aren't directly related to your gender or sexual orientation?
Hell yeah. Mm. I guess I'll go again.
Bounce.
I feel like when I came out, it was the hardest thing about me to accept. And so by coming out, everything else seemed easier. Mm. So I think that just affected my confidence positively in pretty much every facet of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm doing things I never thought I'd do. Like, you know, I play music.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a band.
Yeah.
A few bands, but
it, like, made you braver.
It just, yeah, it made me, like, more myself, more in touch with myself just by presenting a big secret to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
I guess I would say, you know, one place that I really feel like being in the closet had a negative effect on me was kind of my kind of creativity and my writing. Before I came out, you know, I would always write about, like, such, like, abstract, like, fantastical, like, stuff that, like, really had nothing to do with me. Not to say that, you know, my writing doesn't, you know, incorporate elements of that now, but I was putting none of my actual self into my work. And now that I can do that, I can explore more facets of myself because I'm open about it in my work. I feel my work, you know, my writing has gotten better, and it's more personal and more and just by being, you know, more personal, I think it's more interesting. It's a voice that, you know, people not a lot, you know, I don't want to, it's a voice that maybe some people haven't heard, and, like, it,
yeah.
I don't know, just, I guess what I'm saying is just, you know, being able to put yourself out there and, you know, really be yourself in whatever creative endeavor you're doing, I think is so vital. And I couldn't do that until, like, I kind of accepted this part of myself.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I feel like I saw, especially, like, any sort of, like, romantic movie, I never saw myself in it. Mm-hmm. I just very much pictured myself on the outside of, like, what, you know, you might write about. And same thing, I never wrote romances or something that had me in it. And then finally, like, taking up my own space and being like, no, I can experience this as well, and this is what it looks like. I felt like I had something to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing was the writing stuff that I talked about earlier. But I also think that my relationship with my body changed completely. Because, I mean, it's such a huge difference to be inside a body that you hate and feel so uncomfortable inside of and never want anyone to see or look at versus, like, suddenly I have a body that's closer to the thing I imagine myself to have, and I'm going to the gym a lot, and I'm getting muscles, and I'm doing my thing, and I'm like, you know, and I'm just, like, so relieved.
Yes.
And to be able to wear a T-shirt without a million layers in underneath that make me feel sweaty and gross and,
oh my God,
and not breathe. And it's just been such a relief. And I still have those issues. They're not gone. Like, 30-some years with those issues don't go away overnight. But, you know, it's certainly much, much better. Yeah. I mean, of course. Yeah.
It's like... You like having that body that you feel like you don't like, and you feel like I didn't like my body, and that made it like almost impossible for me to think that anyone else would want, you know, like, so it made like intimacy and just being in a relationship like next to impossible for me. It's something I couldn't see myself in. It's like I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it doesn't all go away overnight. But I feel for the first time in my life, I'm getting to a place where I can be in, you know, I can see myself in more long-term romantic relationships. I can accept the fact that, you know, someone could love my body the same way I do.
Yes, totally. Oh, God, I love this section. Yeah. That's my favorite part. Okay, great. What do you think about terms like dude or you guys that are supposedly gender neutral? As one tweet I read put it, they can't be truly gender neutral because a straight man wouldn't say, I just had an awesome date with a dude or a guy, when referring to a singular woman. Thoughts? Does this type of language matter?
It feels kind of personal, like if it matters to you... I don't know. I mean, I'm sensitive to what other people will want to be called. And I think dude, it's not so much that we wouldn't use it to refer to a cis woman or a woman in general, but I think it's more like it's casual.
Yeah.
And it's like, would you refer? I don't know.
I do, at least with dude, I do feel like there are different like versions of the word dude. Mm. I will say like, I have like just in general tried to get out of, even though I still slip into it, get away from in any kind of like group setting saying guy, you guys, like try to refocus on like saying, hey, on like y'all or like everybody. For me, it really goes like person to person. Like I can tell the difference between someone, I have close friends who've just called, you know, they call everybody dude. And when they call me dude, it's like, it's just like the same term of endearment that they would use on any of us. And then there are like, you know, there are people who like will use the word dude. And I can kind of tell it's like, it's a slight undercutting. It's, you know, gotten off stage before at shows where I've told like stories about, you know, like, you know, storytelling shows where I talk about being trans and my experiences, and there'll be like, you know, men afterwards who will be like, you know, like, great story, dude, or like, then when they do like, oh, awesome job, man, that's just like, okay, that's just like completely so like for me, like dude, I almost take on a like person by person basis.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of using these words pretty often. I've been trying to use y'all more, but I'm that one feels weird too because I'm not from Texas. Y'all, what are y'all doing? Do say you guys a lot, and I'm trying not to.
Dude and man, I feel like was like part of my like identity for so long. Like I'm chill. I say what's up, man. You know, like. But yeah, I guess it's just another case of the language not being there yet.
I mean, on the other hand, as we were talking about this, I was like, I mean, I do say y'all, but like sort of with air quotes without making the air quotes. That's like a special dance. I don't know. Yeah. But when people saying ladies in a group I was a part of before I came out as trans was such a big piece of information for me. Every time someone did that, I was just, so I started to become very angry.
Yeah.
And like, don't they see me sitting here?
Yes.
And they'll be like, well, you're still like, what? You know, and I'd be like, but I'm not the same. You know,
yeah, what I mean? Fooling.
And
yeah.
I would get so mad. And then eventually I was like, all right, I gotta do something that would make that impossible for someone to say.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it was bothering me so much.
That is what I feel like right now. I feel like I'm being pushed into a much more masculine presentation because ladies and hey, women, or, you know, it's just like
time.
So grating
yeah.
to
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, so I have to like really like lean super hard in one way to be like legible to the world.
Yeah.
It's so sad to like, to be like, I'm being pushed.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, am I being pushed or am I pushing myself, honestly? But
yeah, I mean, just like that idea of, you know, how much I'm still someone who has to do a lot of work so to get the world to, you know, gender me correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and like it's, you know, and as much as I love, you know, you know, the way I present, and I love my, you know, my makeup regimen, and I love my my outfits right now. Like, there are mornings where you're just like, fuck, like, I wish I could just like roll out of bed and not have to worry. Yeah. Like, you know, I wish I could like go to the gym and you know, not have to worry about this stuff.
Totally.
So, you know, it's like if I'm not dressed like this, I'll, you know, I still get third. I still get and you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sam J, you guys know that comic?
Yes,
she's
yeah.
amazing, and she has a whole joke that where she's like, I don't even know if this is the kind of lesbian I am. Like, she's like really masculine. She's like, I think I've just been pushed this way.
Yeah.
Like, so funny. Great. Well, yeah, let's wrap it up. Do you guys have, where can people find you? They've now listened to you for a whole hour. They're absolutely in love with you. Where can they find more?
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter, more on Instagram. I barely use my Twitter, but under Joan Haley Ford. You can also, I wrote a book a couple years ago called Killing It. You can find that, just go on Amazon and search for Killing It, Joan Ford. And I have I wrote on a show for, it's coming out on Cartoon Network in the next couple months. We don't have a release date yet, but it should be sometime this summer. It's called Thundercats Roar.
Cool.
So look for my name on that in a couple
Yay.
Months.
Nice.
You can just find me on that Instagram, Adrian Cyberspace on Instagram. Or just, you might find me playing some rock and roll show on a stage near you.
Yeah? Do you have a tour? I don't know when this will come out. Maybe in like a month will you be on tour?
I'll be on tour in a month with Sasami.
Cool.
U.S.
Awesome.
U.S. headline tour.
Hey.
See you there.
Hey.
I have, my website has links to a bunch of my projects. One thing folks might be interested in is I did a web series a couple years ago called Outtakes, which is a lo-fi mock doc, semi-improvised web series about two trans guys making a web series in my bedroom. And it's based on the genre of the transition video. So we started messing around with those and then started like fictionalizing a narrative within them. So check that out. And I did a... you could call it sort of a graphic novel, but it's more of like an art book thing. It's called High Winds. It was published by X Artists Books. And it's a pretty cool thing if you're into design and kind of language and stuff.
Oh my gosh, cool. Well, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you have a great week. And hit us up. Please submit questions. If you have anything, let us know. If you want to sign your name and age, love it. Paints a picture. But if you're not comfortable with it, no worries. Okay, bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.